Why Does This Thing Exist?
Podcast.
Why Does This Thing Exist? Podcast.
Good morning, friends.
Good morning.
This is a podcast called Why Does This Thing Exist? Podcast. Brackets. Podcast. Podcast. Something like that. It's called something like
that. That's close enough, isn't it? If you Google that, it'll come up, definitely.
Definitely. If you Google Dr. Dean Burnett and podcast and good fun and good times.
You'll find something.
Definitely, yeah.
You'll find something. I promise you that. How are you, Simon, anyway?
Great. Stop dawdling, Dean. Stop trying to put off the inevitable, Dean. We need to look at something which needs analysis.
Well, as it happens, Simon, I have brought you such a thing.
Excellent.
Now, I think this would come under the banner of product, but I don't know. That's not why I'm bringing it to your attention. It's because I'm baffled as to, I don't know. I'm just going to show you it.
Yeah, do it. Just show it to me. Show it to me and show it to the listener.
Yeah, there's a link on Instagram. Pop in my feed.
Okay. Oh, is somebody loading a gun? Oh, but it's got cigarettes in it. Oh, look at this.
Yeah.
That's the old thing.
Yeah. That's basically it. It's basically, it's a cigarette holder and lighter combined.
Yeah.
Designed to look very, very much like an actual gun.
Yeah.
And I'll say, in terms of execution, for want of a better description, it's sort of well done. You know, like, oh, that actually is a clever bit of kit.
Yeah.
But what you've done is you've created an object which looks, I've got to stress, a lot like an actual firearm. It's not like novelty coloured. It's not like a Nerf gun. This looks just like a compact magnum, which you would actually kill someone with. But with a magazine where the bullets would go, it actually holds a lot of cigarettes in there.
Yeah.
Because the way it says, when you sort of cock the gun and pull the chamber back, cigarettes come out. And when you pull the trigger, you get a sort of blue flame to light it with.
Yeah.
So it looks like a thing which is designed to kill you. What it is, something else which kills you in a different sort of way. And it still counts as a weapon. So, and it's one of those I can see what you're doing, but surely this is a terrible idea to have. Because outside the privacy of your own home, and even then in America, you know, when police can just burst in randomly, or where would this be safe to use? Where would it be a good plan to use this?
Yeah, it's a mad piece of kit, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
In some states of America, you can got open carry. But even then, you know, that's even more dangerous to be pulling out something that looks like a gun then.
If ever it is like allowed to carry a gun, then you just pull this thing out and just start cocking it.
Then it's going to be bloodshed.
Yeah, but also, even if you're not in an open carry state, would this still fall under the regulations and laws? It isn't a gun, but it looks a lot like one. So,
in the UK, we've got laws about replica guns.
Yeah. So this isn't a UK product. I'm confident in that. From a weird Instagram account which shows you stuff which doesn't give any details. It just shows you little videos like this.
Yeah, tantalise.
Yeah, but the second most popular comment is, take it to the airport.
Yeah, definitely.
That'll go down well.
Yeah, the gloves are the least of your worries if you take it to the airport. Yeah.
Because imagine you take it into the airport. It's in your carry-on, because obviously you're a smoker.
Yeah.
It's the x-ray. Beep, beep, beep. Right? So the guy takes you to the side bit and brings it to your bag, saying, okay, sir, pulls out what they think is a firearm.
Yeah.
And they guess, I don't know what it is. He just chambers it. Like, shit! Tattle! Right? It's a lighter. It's full of cigarettes. So that's not better. it is better. They're still not great. You know, you're not supposed to smoke in airports or airplanes, so you can't take this on anyway. But even if you are in an open carry state, but people aren't gung-ho around you, so if someone from a distance sees this, they might not see you take the cigarette out. What they see is you put a cigarette in your mouth, and this is pointing a gun at your own face. this seems like a very angry teenage boy invention, doesn't it?
Yeah. It'd be good. I don't like the way the cigarettes, when you cock it back, they don't fly out. If they shot into the air and you could catch one in your mouth and then light it, that'd be welcome.
Yeah. Maybe you could do it, so like you chamber it on really hard, like they smack it in films, it just flies out, like lands in your mouth. And then, you still look like an arsehole, wouldn't you?
Yeah, just... yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. Beard look a well cool.
A well cool arsehole.
I don't like, as an ex smoker, an occasional still smoker. Yeah. I've never liked the blue flame intense heat lighters. They're totally unnecessary. Only like on things like this or little mini blow torches. I've seen people carry those around as well. It's all just like
I know we had a friend who had a lot of different lighters, but they were all like within the realm of standard orange flame, like they were just like trinkets.
Yeah, I'm
going to guess it makes absolutely no difference to the cigarette.
Well, no, it's all a blue flame is generally for welding, isn't it?
Thank you.
You can light a cigarette off a cigarette. You don't need to have that.
That's totally valid. I think I saw someone once light it off like a burning marshmallow. It's not the most dangerous exothermic reaction, is it?
No, it's unnecessary. It's just it's just showing off. Yeah. It's another one of those, oh, that's well cool sort of thing.
You can see like a 15-year-old getting like, guys, look what I got. Oh, man. then the girls walk past, what have you got? Yes. Oh, you sad prick. No, you pull the gun out, they'll just run.
the kids stay though, Dean. They're not smoking, they're going straight to vapes now.
Yes, that's a thing, isn't it? My son says his kids in his school are on the vapes.
Yeah.
And that's sort of, I don't know if people are worried about that, but that for all intents and purposes, based on the evidence, that still is better than them going to cigarettes.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's like one of those things. I was quoted in the Irish Independent recently. They did an article about some study said that letting your kids play rugby is the same as child abuse.
Right.
Like, which is not. It's because of head injuries. Like, no, if you risk them having a head injury, then you're basically a child abuser.
Yeah.
I mean, by the same logic, like, if you stop kids from playing rugby, then you're a child kidnapper because you're infringing children's, like, rights. So, you know, if you want to go that extreme, you can do that.
Yeah.
But I remember getting a bit sort of head up about it because, you know, I'm from a rugby background, I don't play it, but I know the community is important. But I don't like that sort of moralizing, you know, that kind of... Yeah, so it's the same thing about full banning boxing arguments. That was a classic one when we were kids. And and it's like, it's this assumption that if you ban it, you know, if you ban boxing, that then, that just keep kids safe forever. No, kids are going to punch each other. That happens a lot.
Yeah.
Just give them a safe place or like train them to do it properly and in a safe way. That's probably better than just letting them, you guys figure it out. trial and error, that's all that matters. So, I think like that impulse is there. Whereas the same with like, if some kids, teenagers are going to want to smoke or indulge in something by banning vapes, you're not going to stop them doing that. You know, vapes are like a better answer than cigarettes. So, I mean, as long as I'm lit with a gun, I suppose. You can't light the vape with a gun, can you? Light a vape with anything, really.
You don't need to. You can, though, if you want to look real cool.
Just inhaling melted plastic.
Yeah.
Oh, this stuff is strong. This green foam with a corny mouth.
A loose eyeball just rolling on the side of your face. It's popped out your head.
It doesn't taste like cherries.
Butane ice flavour.
I do find that's the one thing which, I know people said this, but I do agree that the one thing about vapes which confuses me in that, because I'm so used to people smoking. I don't know, cigarette smoke smells like cigarette smoke. So when someone like walks past with a vape, he's like kind of cloud of smoke flavored like candy floss. It's like hell. it's like a fever dream or something.
Yeah,
better than the alternative, but it's weird, you know.
I don't know if it is like this is probably from an ex-smoker again, though, isn't it? And I do love the smell of fags.
I never liked it. But now that it's gone, I do have a sort of strange nostalgia for it.
Oh, yeah, same as your ex-wife.
My ex-wife, the heavy smoker.
I never loved her, but now she's gone. I've got a sort of nostalgia for her.
And she was cancerous. Bless.
Not really, of course. Dean's never got divorced. He's beheaded all of his wives.
Because I am a traditionalist.
If it's good enough for the king, it's good enough for me.
Exactly.
Hey, I like this on the Wikipedia, not the Wikipedia, that's later, on the Instagram. Mm. All the hashtags there.
Yeah.
Interesting.
This account, which I use a lot for stuff like this, beaverart.engineer1. They do find some interesting videos, but they provide absolutely no context. It's purely just click farming. And it just says, like, dude, tell us if you like this. Comment in the you like. What is it? It's just like some Chinese road building machine. It's like, you like it? Well, yes.
Yeah. I'll give it three.
Yeah. Or it's like some sort of massive engine churning out something. It's just, you know, score out of 10. I don't know what it is. You haven't given me any context for what I'm looking at. It's like 50 hashtags. Like, see, double tap if you like. Turn on your notifications. Subscribe, you bastards.
Hashtag civil engineering, hashtag civil engineer, hashtag concrete, hashtag buildings. None of that involved in the video at all. No. It's a replica gun which you can light the fag.
So, yeah, I mean, what hashtags do you have for that? Hashtag bad idea. Hashtag airport like this.
Hashtag glove nostalgia.
Hashtag looking cool.
It does look real cool.
Hashtag real, a lot of ease, real cool.
Oh, Christ, drop my microphone. Come back.
Yeah.
Well, so, Dean, one more question before we give our scores. Have you ever fired a gun?
No, I haven't. Don't think I think, what am I thinking of? Oh, I had a cap gun when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And we had a couple of those, but
never done any like clay pigeon shooting or anything like that?
No. My father did have, when we were on the hotel, he had a clay pigeon range nearby. And he took had a big New Year's party with all his friends in this hotel. And they went clay pigeon shooting the next day. And his grandfather-in-law was with them.
Right.
And they said, yeah, you came, Dad George, you came along, and he was crap at clay pigeon shooting. It's what? The 83-year-old man who had like 3 hours sleep after 50 pints and has Parkinson's. he was bad at clay pigeon shooting, you say? You surprised me, sir. You surprised me. He's genuinely looked like, he was rubbish. Of course he was rubbish. He's got actual Parkinson's. Please. don't put this in the newsletter, does?
Local shaky man has clay pigeon nightmare.
Exactly. Nice little bike. No, I never fired a gun. Not really. You know, it's on my bucket list. But, you know,
oh, it's good fun. I've done it.
It's opportunity arose. I wouldn't say no, but I haven't.
I've shot clay pigeons recently, was surprisingly good. And when I was very young, I shot an actual shotgun, which belonged to my grandfather.
Oh.
And it shot me the recoil on it. Yeah, knocked me to the ground.
I bet it did, yeah. How young were you?
8 or 9.
Right. Yeah, it would, yeah. Bloody hell. That's impressive.
Maybe between 8 and 12. I can't remember the exact year, but yeah.
Yeah, but the shotgun at that age is quite a big deal.
Yeah.
So anyway, cigarette lighter gun, unnecessarily realistic. What are we going to give it? I'll give it a 2, because despite everything, it is a sort of impressive bit of kit. It looks well designed. It's just that it shouldn't have been designed, because I don't think it's going to have anywhere near the usability that they expected to. So, yeah.
That's fair, I think. I'm going to give it 2.5.
Okay.
I would have given it 3 if the cigarettes shot out of it. If just the action on that, she like the woman modeling the gun has got to turn it upside down a bit to get them out. And it's not fluid. It's not fluid, Dean.
No, it's true. That's true. But, you know,
But apart from that, oh, I love it. Yes, I think it's great.
How male is the woman using this gun? And unnecessarily, unhelpfully so, it looks like.
Yeah.
But that's by the by. Anyway, okay, so cigarette gun launcher thing. Go away.
Go away. Don't come back. Don't come back.
Don't come back.
Welcome back, friends. We're going to move on to section two now, and I'm going to show something to Dean.
Look forward to it.
Dean.
Simon.
I've got some soft furnishings for you.
My favourite kind of furnishings? Not that there's no hard furnishings don't have a place, but yeah, soft. Soft is the way to go.
Oh, I think this is soft furnishings. Maybe you can explain it a bit better to me anyway when we get to it now.
Okie dokie.
Basically, it is this. Which is, of course, a life-size rhinoceros sculpture turned into a sofa.
I'm going to say for sure that's a hippopotamus, but other than that...
Ah, yes, of course. Yeah. Oh, terrible, dreadful error. Edit that out, listeners. It's, of course, a hippopotamus.
Yeah, okay. Right, okay. That looks impractical. You need a big house for that. I mean... Easily a big house for any sort of hippo-sized object, but
yeah.
There's a lot. The usable space to decorative space ratio is wildly off compared to this typical sofa. It's like as if the arm of one sofa was like 5 feet thick.
It is, isn't it? Yeah.
Which is not the usual norm. And I wouldn't mind that even because at least that potentially has some sort of flat surfaces to rest your laptop on or something. But this is not. It's just... You have to stretch up really high to get to the top of the hippo, and it's going to slide off because it's not not flat at all. That sofa itself doesn't look that comfortable.
It doesn't. This is one of the problems with it.
Yeah,
it's sort of it's more like a booth than a sofa, isn't it?
Yeah, I was thinking it's like the sort of things you get in pubs, and like when you have the sort of the corner seats and stuff, and
yeah,
there's all the studs in it, you know, to give that sort of bubbling effect. But yeah, it doesn't look like a sofa. It looks like some place you'd have like a business meeting. slightly to the right, and there's still a massive hippo attached to it, which would send an interesting vibe if you're like having a proper shareholders conference or something. You know?
Yeah.
Do you think it's like an intimidation tactic? You know, bring someone around your house.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who would you intimidate for this?
Lions.
Yes, Sarah's boyfriend's family are coming around the side today. Oh yeah, where are they from? Oh, they're from Africa. Oh well, I never knew you were a racist, Steve. Well, I'm not a racist. What's the problem with them then? they're literal lions. Yeah. Oh, well, do you want to borrow my sofa? Well, no, we've got loads of settees and we've got chairs galore in the house, like sheds full of them. No. Let me explain it to you. My sofa is a life-size hippopotamus. It's more hippopotamus than sofa, if anything.
Yeah. Well, why do you have that? Oh, I mean, impulse buy, you know.
There's something clinically wrong with my brain. I didn't even know that.
Oh, that sounds bad. But you're the one who's got lions for in-laws, potentially. Yeah. So.
Your daughter's a sicko. Yeah. Get out of my sight and everyone talks to you again. Maybe something like that, Dean, I don't know.
Quite possibly. This obviously must be a handcrafted or something like that, because that's not a self-assembly, is it?
No. That's you don't get a flat pack IKEA, do you?
It's an IKEA job.
No.
Hippopotamus.
Would you eat his balls, his meatballs?
I mean, I steer clear because I think hippos are notoriously short-tempered and quite formidable to fight.
I'd say IKEA is one of the best restaurants in Cardiff. Would you go along with that?
You know what? I would, actually. It actually is weirdly sort of... It's incredibly cheap for what you get, and it's actually quite reliable. So,
yeah. It's a good recommendation for the listeners.
Yeah. IKEA, that little bespoke little boutique restaurant you get near the bay.
They always try to get you with the upsell of a new kitchen or something like that. But if you just go there for the meatballs, you're all right. the detail on this hippopotamus, Dean, it's quite good, isn't it?
Yes, it's really, you know, got the whole sort of, not quite stubbly, but that sort of porous nose, the little sort of upper-hanging fangs there, the proportions, the saggy jowls.
Yeah, it's got the lines on his head where it's been, thrown in, for want of a better word.
But it's got that level of detail, but also it doesn't look like, the colour's all right. It's like it hasn't been painted.
Yeah, it's the wrong colour, isn't it? It's more beige than grey.
Yeah, it looks unfinished.
It does.
Which wouldn't be necessarily a problem, but the sofa itself is grey, which is more hippo colour than the hippo itself, which is adding another layer of confusion to this process.
It does, exactly. Yeah, it's been inverted. The seats are the colour of the hippopotamus. Should be the other way around, shouldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So here's another question for you, Dean.
Yes, Simon.
What type of animal would you like to hollow out and sit inside?
Well, before this, I probably would have said a hippo, because they look like they would be quite comfortable. Like, they're quite round, quite flabby. There's all sort of support in there. But now I'm seeing it, it doesn't look right.
It don't work, would say. It don't work. Yeah. It would work better if it was a hippo lying down, wouldn't it? And, you had a shorter back section and a longer bit for your legs.
Yeah. Because I thought hippos were rounder than this, but I guess they're not. But you've got a very sort of truncated seat section, a lot of back support.
Yeah.
It doesn't really come to. It looks like a sort of seat you might sit on to do some work. It does. Another sort of Zoom meeting that pops up, with the shareholders. Oh, it's been a tough year for us. Where'd you get that chair? Ah, well.
Never you mind. It's been a tough year. You're fired. If you went to a job interview and they said, "Oh, take a seat, and we'll call you when you're ready," and they made you sit in the hippopotamus, would it give you confidence or fear?
I think that would unsettle me.
Yeah.
Because it's one of those things do I mention this to ask about it? Is this meant to be an icebreaker?
It's a test. Yeah.
But is this meant to be an icebreaker? If I mention it, are they saying, you need to be observant and confident? Or is it we need to see what he's willing to put up with? So he has to sort of, if he starts to question the hippo chair, he's going to be furious about the baboon coffee machine. I remember seeing, it was one of those sort of Sky documentary series, The Lion Man, which is this guy run a lion park in, I think it was Australia.
Yeah.
But he used some of the lions to do this advert for sofas, which sort of made me think of this. The joke was there's a female lion sitting on the sofa, and then the male lion comes in and she starts going roaring at him.
Yeah.
He's like, it was basically henpecked husband. And just sort of, he's sleeping on the sofa. Hilarious. But they said, but because lions are genuinely massive and heavy, muscular creatures, that to build a sofa, I'd steel blocks. So the sofa you're selling that's not a sofa at all. That is a solid steel replica of a sofa. I'm not sure what message you're giving across here. Our sofas can support a lion, except they can't. If you're a henpecked lion, you can come to Jones's sofa shop. Again, I'm not sure they can. I don't think a hen peck lion is really a thing. But
you could never peck a lion if you're a hen. You're eating.
Probably once.
Oh, yeah. That's it. Yeah. I'm going to give you some more facts about this, Dean.
Please do.
Fact number one is that this SETI cost $95,000.
That doesn't shock me. Because it doesn't look like it was it's not a flat pack. This is clearly a bespoke item, and again, the attention to on the hippo is quite incredible. So clearly, this is the work of an artisan.
Yes,
with very strange enthusiasms, handcrafted. There we go. See,
takes 400 hours to create.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah,
because again, I can't imagine there's a production line of these things.
No. To be honest, I think it would be better if it wasn't a sofa. I think it'd be worth it if it was just a statue of a hippopotamus.
Yeah.
I think the sofa bit just detracts from it,
Or something you could fold out, leave the side on, then just pull it down, like a drinks cabinet. Hippo drinks cabinet, I can see that. Yeah, but you pull it down, when it's not in use, it's an intact hippo.
Yes, it goes all the way around, I know what you mean, I think you should just chuck an engine in it, see how fast it goes.
This comes back to your weird thing about driving animals. Remember the whole horse car conversation? What do you keep bringing this up? You can't drive an animal.
I think you're right, dude. I've never realised it, but I do have a fascination with just making an animal a car. I don't know what's wrong with me. Here's a little side view of it, look, Dean.
But that looks better.
Do you reckon that looks better? I think it looks worse.
The sofa overall looks worse, but the ratio of sofa to decorative hippo looks better.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I guess you can sit in there. You'd have to sit bolt upright, that's the thing. You couldn't lie down in it, could you?
Yeah, that's the part. You can't relax on this thing. There's no lounging going on.
I suppose if you're on a thing that costs £95,000, you're not going to relax anyway, are you?
No, God, no. I mean, you wasn't drinking tea in that thing.
You wouldn't. No, you definitely wouldn't have your bloody beans on toast on it or anything like that, would you? No. On a tray made out of a magazine. Eat your dinner with a magazine as the tray.
Yeah, I remember doing that.
Absolutely pointless.
Yeah. Obviously no support whatsoever.
Yeah.
To the medium in which you are eating.
It weighs £200 as well, which is quite a lot. You're going to need a team of people to get that into your
living room. That's a winch job, isn't it? And taking your bay windows out for a bit.
That's right, yeah.
To fit your giant novelty hippo sofa in.
Well, desperately trying to squeeze it up the chimney, wasn't you?
I wasn't trying to sell your house. Some right move comes out and take the photos. People scrambling through the gallery, like, there's the kitchen, there's the bathroom, there's the living room. Go back.
Whoa. What was that?
Well, I love the idea of it just being a standalone piece. Like, there's no theme going on. It's just standard magnolia walls, skirting boards, one armchair, hippo sofa, pinewood dining table, MDF. It's the one with an eccentricity. It's otherwise perfectly normal to live at home.
Let's give our scores, Radin. What are you going to give it?
Oh, I'm sort of weirdly compelled by it, but I am one of those ones who isn't a huge... I'm not easily swayed by form over function.
Right.
So I'm going to give it a 3, because it's an impressive bit of work, and someone's clearly put a lot of... hippo-based research into this, but it doesn't look like it'd be a good sofa. And to me, that is the main thing. So, yeah, I'll give it a 3, and that's being generous.
Yeah. I'm going to give it a 4 on the basis that it'd be good if I was a millionaire and instead of using it as a sofa, I was using it as some kind of dining table. You'd be upright then to eat your dinner. Mm. You'd have to have maybe I would keep this as a sofa, actually, in my living room, but just when I'm eating my dinner, watching the telly at the same time. So I'm upright. I've got my magazine. I've got my dinner on my plate. Just beans.
just beans, dude.
Just beans. Just big plate of beans. but I am bolt upright.
Of course,
So I want to emphasise that. My beans there, they're on the plate, big plate beans. I'm bolt upright. I've got my sofa, this hippopotamus.
Hmm.
So, my legs are there, I'm bolt upright. I've got the beans on my lap. I've got a magazine.
You've got beans, okay.
I've got the telly going on. and I'm sat upright. And I'm eating my beans. And then I think... it'll be okay.
And if you're a billionaire, that's what you'll do.
That's what I'll do if I was a billionaire.
Okay, so you wouldn't interfere with the politics of Miami or anything, or
something like that. I'd be bolt upright, eating my beans.
Why are we sitting
on? Oh, it's a hippopotamus.
Okay, right.
Yeah, I used to think he was a rhino, but I know it was a hippopotamus. And I'm bolt upright. I've got my beans. On the plate. I've got a magazine. I'm resting on my...
What magazine?
Irrelevant, Dean. You just need to know that I'm bolt upright.
African Animals Monthly.
Welcome back, listeners. So, Dean, we're going up, up and away in our beautiful balloon called Random Wikipedia Article.
Subcategory, everyone's favourite section, where we look at the random article on Wikipedia and try to get the bottom of it, give it a score, see how well it stands up as an article. The random article this week is... 3, 2, 1. Ooh!
Tarzan and the Mermaids theme. This sounds good.
It does, rather, yeah. Tarzan and the Mermaids, a 1948 American adventure film based on the Tarzan character, created by Rice Burroughs, directed by Robert Flory. It was the last of 12 Tarzan films to star Johnny Weissmuller in the title role, with the following 16, 18 cut remakes, films of the series featuring alternate actors between main and supporting, while maintaining a single continuity.
Bloody also hell.
Also the first Tarzan film since 1939 not to feature the character Boy, adopted instead of Tarzan and Jane. Boy was described in the film as being away at school. What? The character never returned to the series. School? I can imagine that.
Fair play. I didn't know there was 30 Tarzan films.
Yeah, that's impressive. Plot. The setting is a coast African village where swimming and diving are central to the culture. Okay. Hence the term the mermaids. Tarzan and Jane, Brendan Joyce, have a native girl, Linda Christian, who has fled the village to avoid a forced marriage to supposed local god. Right. George Zucker plays Palanth, the corrupt high priest attempting to force the girl into marriage, and Fernando Wagner plays a con man, personating the god Baloo. So there's no actual mermaids in this. Which
no,
I find...
no mermaids, which is a letdown. A lot of false gods, which is bad. Shouldn't have them.
Yeah. Strong Wizard of Oz vibes there. Con man impersonating the god Baloo. I imagine that's sort of inspired by that. Production. Deaths. Oh, Christ. Did we go to that?
Yes.
Two members of the film crew were killed during production. One Mexican crewman was crushed by a motorboat, while Angel Garcia, stunt diver, was killed after he survived the dive and was swept by the surf to the rocks below the cliff. Jesus Christ. We thought, like, listen, thank God we got a nice light one this time. We got straight to the film deaths. Bloody hell. Author of the film critic Hal Erickson described the film in All Movie as a diverting Tarzan adventure. Is that diving with faint phrase?
Exactly. Man died.
Diverting from safety? Is that? despite the jungle settings that don't look particularly African. I mean, it's 1948. Is that a big deal then? I mean, were people that aware, that savvy about African jungles?
I didn't even know Tarzan was set in Africa. I just thought it was generic jungle. Like,
I always thought that,
in space or something like
Yeah, because I thought, like, when you're a kid, like, jungle, desert, mountains, those are like the set, like video games, those are like the settings. You had, like, just those are places where things happened.
Yeah, I didn't know it was supposed to be in Africa.
Yeah.
I'm not very up with Tarzan as a thing, to be honest. I know that he goes, whoa, like that, and swings on a vine.
Yeah,
I know he doesn't have trousers.
Yeah, I know he's raised by apes.
Raised by apes.
I think the last version I saw was the Disney film. That's a long time ago now as well.
Phil Collins, he was Tarzan, wasn't he?
Well, he sang the music, but he might as well have been Tarzan. That's what I don't
think that's right, Tim. I think he was Tarzan.
Yeah, he was live action. The rest of it was animated.
That's right, yes, yeah.
It was him in a loincloth.
Yeah.
So remember that film? Brian Blessed was the main villain in it, which is a sort of the weird phenomenon in America when it's the film which knocked... Phantom Menace off the top of the box office charts.
Great. What a fucking month of films that must have been.
Yeah, but that means there was a film which is like a big voice by Brian Blessed, replaced by a film which had voice by Brian Blessed.
Oh, wow.
Because he's like that big frog thing in Phantom Menace, isn't he? Doesn't matter, does it? Who cares?
I'd say yes.
Yeah, so, Tars of the Mermaids, no mermaids.
No mermaids. Have you ever seen a mermaid, Dean?
No, Simon, don't exist. Still a barracuda in one of his did a snorkel thing once.
Fish, Dean, that's a fish.
I think it's far more impressive than a mermaid. Vicious looking bastards.
Very long fish with nice sharp teeth, a barracuda.
Yeah, yeah. Shiny too.
Oh, I didn't know they were shiny.
Well, they weren't when I was looking at it. Could have just been my paralyzing fear just coming up.
Could have been. Yeah, I've heard that. That when you get afraid, everything looks shiny to you, doesn't it?
Yeah, like I thought I was dying, so I'd look at the light, you know. So yeah. Swim towards the light. Because there's a big fish nearby. I'm not code for this for the aquatic life.
I'm not enjoying this section so far, Dean.
Sorry, sir.
Make it better for me, please. You're doing your best. I know you're doing the best, but two men have died, Dean. And...
Yeah, that's what adapter on things, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really, really, really bad.
The film's director won N. Edmonds. Not working. Brian Blessed facts didn't shift him, listeners.
It really didn't.
Yeah, let's look at the poster a bit closer.
Can you please find the clip of Brian Blessed when he was in a hospital? Do you remember this show?
You told me about this.
I swear to God, right, it exists, right? But there's no footage of it anywhere. It was a daytime BBC One show, like early morning daytime. And it was Brian Blessed, and he was reporting live from a hospital every day. But it was not good. It was very strange because he was just going around just being weird and shouting at very ill people. Nobody believes it exists, but I saw it. I saw it.
I believe you because when you tell me the time thinking, did you see that? Because it wasn't like a set amount of jokes. I mean, you were genuinely excised by the whole thing. Okay. No, I've got Brian Blessed doing some COVID stuff.
Tell me more about Tarzan, Dean, then. Go on, tell me a bit more about Tarzan and the mermaids. So, these mermaids in there, they're not real mermaids.
No, people swim a lot, apparently.
They're swimmers.
In the picture, there's of the film, he does fight an octopus with a knife. He's got the knife, not the octopus.
Yeah, the octopus would have eight knives, wouldn't it?
I was just thinking, yeah, that's going to be a one-sided fight, isn't it?
Yeah.
You got one knife and you can't breathe. The octopus has got...
Yeah, the film would be called Tarzan the Lacerations if it was...
Tarzan the mincemeat. Yeah. This is an interesting trivia question you can ask people. Okay. How many tentacles does an octopus have?
How many tentacles does an octopus have, Tim?
None.
Oh.
Yeah, they're all arms. They're all arms. Ah,
they count it as arms, are they?
Yes, because a tentacle is what a squid has. It's like long, rubbery thing with the suckers on the end.
Yeah.
Octopus limbs are suckers all the way down, so they count it as arms.
Oh, lovely. See? Okay.
Yeah. No tentacles on octopus. You can wow all the girls with that.
Yeah.
Go in the club with a girl. Hey, how many tentacles does an octopus have? Yeah. It sounds sleazy as fuck. I say it out loud. So yeah,
just get maced in the face, yeah. Rape alarms galore.
Yeah. Maybe do in the library.
Yeah,
stick up to someone in a book. No, I suppose. Do it in Greg's.
Do it in Greg's. Yeah.
When they say anything else, you say how many arms does an octopus have? No, tentacles. Don't say arms because that gives it away. They say how many arms? Ah, shit! Just walk out.
You know, in Greg's, when they ask you anything else, is that like the American upselling thing where they try? Do you want to go large? Is that what they're doing?
I think it must be,
it's distasteful. Greg shouldn't be doing that. No. Greg's is pure filth, British filth.
Yeah, Greg's being have a nice day in Greg's doesn't sound right, does it?
No, like, it doesn't. No.
No, we're here to service you. No, you're not.
Yeah.
You're filling me full of congealed pork.
Exactly. How would you like your pink slime, sir? Would you like it in a tube or a flat? Oh, I'll have it in a fucking tube today.
Yeah. Do I look like it matters?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Anyway, tell me more facts about this article, please, Dean. Get back to the article so I can read it and stop showing me that. Thank you. I am very... impressed that they made 30 Tarzan films.
Yeah, like, that's a lot, isn't it?
We talk a lot about the overkill of the Marvel films, but at least that's multiple characters, different films and all that.
Yeah.
They've all got different superpowers. Tarzan.
Was this like the era when they just churn films out, like in like matinee style, isn't it? Like they were one every 2 weeks or something.
This was 1948.
Yeah. Not a lot of TV then, is it? So
no. Well, it says it's the first one since 1939 not to feature the character Boy because he was in school at the time.
Hmm.
So that's 9 years of Tarzan films, at least.
God, yeah. I mean, I bet they did more than one a year.
Do you think so?
Think so?
I'm not sure. Find out, Dean. Wikipedia must tell us.
Okay.
Tarzan in film, here we are. So he started off as silent films, and then he went to the Weissmuller era. Scroll down a bit more, Dean. So they started off in 1918. I wonder if they're including that in the 30s. So he'd had a 30-year run, essentially, including silence. Scroll down to the bottom, my friend.
Silent-era feature films.
So there was four silent films, 1918, two in 1918, one in 1920, one in 1927.
Sorry, I know what it means, but like I said, theatrical release in 1918, DVD release. My head is like, that was the same year. I said, Jesus Christ. Someone was well ahead of the curve.
The sound era starts in 1932. So every 32, 34, 36, 39, 42, 43, 42, 43 years then. Okay. Two in 1943. Yeah, yeah. Every year. Every year. Two in 1943 and then every year. Tarzan film. What a load of rubbish. Yes. Oh, right. What a dreadful
Dreadful article. Nice. Meant to be all lighthearted. Two people died. Simon lost any interest.
Yeah, exactly.
And we started talking about Brian Blessed to no avail.
Yeah. I remembered a thing which might not have existed.
We teased him with the Brian Blessed shout to the invalids and couldn't back it up. Couldn't back it up.
Couldn't back it up.
Should be ashamed of ourselves.
Should be ashamed.
Article gets one star from me.
One star from me as well.
Let's hang our heads in shame and let the listener be.